I'll tell you something about our program OSOS in the Netherlands. It stands for Open Standards and Open Source Software for Governments. So there's two elements in it. In one program, there are two elements combined, open standards and open source. And for some people, that's a very logical combination. And to a lot of other people, it's not. In my experience, it can be very disconcerting to have both themes into one discussion. But on the other hand, those two are related. So there we go. The other thing is we talk about of open source software. I know you can have a lot of discussion about we should call it free software or open source software. I don't think this is the place to have this discussion, but that's the word we choose for it. If you want to take it literally, we also take open source software distributed with a non-copyleft license. We also look at the possibilities of those kinds of software. So there we go. Some remarks on the situation in the Netherlands right now. We have a lot of agencies, a lot of governments in the Netherlands, probably the same as any other European country. We have national agencies, provinces, local municipalities, and even waterschappen. That's the Dutch word for it's a separate layer of government which deals with all the dikes and the water foundations and so on. They're all very independent, so that makes it very hard as a central agency to see all the governments trying to do the same thing, because they all are made up their own mind and they all have their own ideas about what is best. So I can imagine you feel the same sometimes. What's really actual developments now is the need for more interoperability. That's really the main driver now. One, to improve service. Citizens, companies, they want integrated services from the government. On the other hand, a lot of other European countries, there's a bit of recession, as you will. So there's short of money, and we all look to possibilities. How can we save money on our operations? So more interoperability is a way too. And last, availability, accessibility of information. I won't tell too much about that, but over the last years, about every agency in Holland has made their own website. So we all have our websites, but now the question is, do they have quality, and are those websites, can you visit all those websites with a non-Internet Explorer browser? And in a lot of cases, you can't. So that's a problem too. I will tell you something about what I see in Holland, but also in other European countries, are the main drivers for using open source or free software. We're talking about free software all day, and all the moral aspects of it and the democratic aspects of it. What I face is that those kinds of arguments don't really make a lot of impression when I try to sell open source software within agencies and governmental organizations. That's not meant to be too cynical, but you need other arguments, in my opinion, to persuade governments on this course of action. One of the things we see is vendor lock-in. We talk about Microsoft all the time, but in Holland, for instance, local municipalities have to deal with the problem that there are two major vendors in this niche market. And, to be exact, they have more problems with this duopoly, as you will, as the monopoly of Microsoft. So a lot of those governments see free software as a means of getting out of this vendor lock-in. Of course, that means you have more flexibility and more possibilities of having interoperability between all your systems. For instance, again, those local municipalities, you have to build up web services so citizens can get a permit from a website, while all the legacy systems which the people use for building getting in their permits, they're very locked. And so we need some more free software, some more open source software to get it open. On the other hand, that's also an issue of open standards, but I will get into that subject later on. Reusability, we have, as I told you, for instance, 500 local municipalities doing all about the same and all trying to share information and share software because it's getting too expensive. Some other interesting arguments for selling, as you will, free software are elements of quality. Transparency, for instance. In Holland, we're building this system now for open source, for voting, online voting. And there are a lot of people asking for free software, so it's transparent. So people can see how does this software work, does it do what it needs to be done. Sustainability, of course, sustainability of information. We have these laws in the Netherlands, but probably in a lot of other countries too, which said some information needs to be stored for about 15 years. And for all we know, a lot of those information won't be visible or won't be usable over 15 years because the software we're using then is different than the software we're using now. Also, it has to do with open standards. If we use open standards, we can get out of this dilemma. Cost is a question mark, because what we see, using free software can save you money, but in some cases it doesn't. And what we see is that a lot of agencies not only, they use a lot of other motives to choose free software, and sometimes it's cost, sometimes it's not. And last point, it was pointed out also by the Linux presentation this afternoon, open source for a lot of governments can be a way of stimulating the local, or as you will, the European software industry. I believe I heard we had a shortage on our trade balance of about $38 billion a year to the other side of the ocean. And for a lot of people, investing in free source software is a way of investing in a European or in a local economy. So to be sure, these are a few of the drivers which I see governments in Netherlands, but also in other countries in Europe, see for using open source software. And as you will, those are the selling points of free source software. In short, in Netherlands, what's our policy? A starting point has been a lot of debate in our parliament, and that's very funny to see. I've been dealing with some other ICT programs in Holland, and what's quite frustrating, you know, they are very relevant. ICT really can make a significant difference in the way we treat people, electronic service delivery, but it is never a political issue. And now we have this subject, free source software, open source software, and it really is a political issue, and that's very interesting to see. The result of it that our minister had some ideas about open source software and open standards, and to be sure it's this, our policy in the Netherlands is all governmental organizations should use open standards for communication and messaging. It's really a roadmap, but it's not mandatory. And we have this discussion, should it be mandatory or not? And we're having the same discussions in the context of the European Commission, where they are working on this European interoperability framework. But nevertheless, it's not mandatory, but that's a strong commitment towards open standards. Open source software is another thing. It's not a duty to use open source software. The policy right now is more give open source equal rights, if you will, equal opportunities. And to be exact, maybe that doesn't sound too sexy or too ambitious, but let me tell you this, that's even hard enough for most governments. Really giving open source a chance, get rid of your main supplier who gives you this present with Christmas every year. That's really the case. They send you over it. Really get rid of your normal vendors. That's a big step. So that's the policy in short. In short, open standards today, open source software, give it equal opportunities. Well, as I told you, we have this competence center. It's called OSOS. It's commissioned by the Ministry of Interior, Ministry of Trade and Economics. Well, I won't get into much detail on this. What's very important, we have a lot of competences in this competence center, and it's not only technical. What I see is very important are the legal aspects and communication. I'll get into that later on. Well, the first thing we do, and I hope you won't be offended by this picture, is creating awareness and knowledge dissemination. I really have to get the story abroad that open source and free software is not only software made by, people were doing it in their free time from idealistic motives. It helps me to say that there are a lot of companies who are only aiming at their own market share and their own profit who are dealing in free source software. In a strange way, it's not that strange, that's a big comfort to government. So what I'm saying first is there are really a lot of companies involved and they're making profit out of open source software. We had a survey last year, and that's what it says. Well, onbekend maakt onbemind. It's upstairs. It's a Dutch expression for what you don't know. You don't think it's good to you. And that's what we see in with agencies right now. Agencies or governmental organizations not having experience with open source software, well, they think it's not useful. And agencies we do have experience, they are much more positive on this. So first aim, get agencies experienced with open source software or free software. The second thing we do is guidelines and best practices. We've heard of a perfect migration guideline built here in Germany. We have done some stuff on that too. One of the things I would like to mention is legal advice. I'm always amazed about the amount of energy people can put into arguing why something is not possible. So you can imagine a lot of governmental organizations saying, well, open source, it's technical, not feasible, it's too difficult for me. Well, when you get over that and they can't win that battle, they will say, well, there are too many legal risks. So what we put a lot of energy in is doing research on the legal aspects of open source software, liability issues, for instance, because we can say, well, that cannot be a threshold and that cannot be an obstacle to use open source software. Well, this is also a funny thing. We did some investigation in what does all the TCO studies say about open source software. Well, you can't draw one single conclusion, and the end conclusion is, to be simple, every individual organization who thinks about using open source software will have to make their own calculation. What you can say, of course, there are a lot of situations wherein open source software has a positive TCO, but well, there are not one single objective, well-accepted surveys on this. What you also can say is TCO is a limited way of approaching the issue of open source software, or a limited way of approaching what kinds of software will I use. If you look to TCO, in a way, it clearly looks at the costs and not at the benefits of software. So don't get misunderstood by all the researchers on TCO, whether it's positive or negative on open source software. The third thing we do is very simple, just helping how we can. What I told, we have to get a lot of organizations just using free software, using open source software. Governmental organizations are not convinced by figures, by documents, by research. They want to visit a colleague organization or another governmental organization and just seeing how it works. So we do anything to get a critical mass of organizations using free source software. How many time do I still have, Chairman?
About 5 or 10 minutes.
No. If I talk too fast, just let me know. Okay, I told you about our approach, our policy approach on open source software and open standards, the way our competence center is organized. That's of course all paperwork and red tape. Now in practice, we investigated this last year and we came to a staggering or astonishing amount of 85% of all public organizations using open source software. In the first instance, we couldn't understand that. On the other hand, it's not that unsurprisingly, because in any organization there will be any server on Linux or some small applications using open source software. So when you take a good close look, most organizations use some degree of open source software. So to a certain degree, the question is not anymore, shall we use open source software or not? In most cases, this question has already been answered. And I have some examples of organizations which are using Linux, but when you talk to the people who have implemented it, they say, well, towards our management team, we said it's just a Unix version, because when we would have told that it is Linux, they wouldn't trust it and they won't cancel it. So we're just saying it's a version of Unix, anything they do. When you take a closer look to how do governmental organizations at this time use free software, you see it concentrated in the back office. It's not a nice word to describe it, on the back end, server side. A lot of content management. We have a very successful open source project in Holland, which is called MMBase. It started as a content management system for one of the broadcasting companies, and now it's really evolved into a broad content management system, which is also used by local municipalities, state government, other broadcasting companies. So that's very interesting to see. And we see a slow adoption on the desktop. We have the first experiences now, but we have not yet an organization like Munich, for instance. And on the other hand, yeah, we will see it later on. I believe Munich is not yet using Linux and OpenOffice. They're still in the process. So we're still waiting on this big killer organization, as you will, which is using 3,000-4,000 desktops on OpenOffice. I believe in France there are some departments using it, but really the perfect examples, I can't find them yet. What's very interesting too, we sometimes make the distinction between governments in their role as a user of open source software or free source software or distributor. What we see now, most governments just use open source software. They have a problem, it needs to be solved, and they use open source software. They're not part of the community, as you will. What we hope is that governments also take up the role of as a distributor of open source software. And make no illusion, a lot of organizations say, we don't want customized software, we don't build our own software, but when you take a closer look, most organizations need customized software, and we hope that if governmental organizations build those kinds of software, they distribute it also as open source software. But that's not the case yet. Last year we started an experiment and we made our own SourceForge-like environment. And we hope to stimulate by this governments in building their own open source software. Well, we're a year later now, I guess, and I think there are about 4 or 5 projects on it. So it's not that much. I really have to be honest on that. And when you ask governments, did you like using open source software and what were the benefits of it? You really get very mixed stories. Some people say, well, it did give me a lot of headache and a lot of trouble, but still, I'm happy with it. Some organizations say, well, it really did save me a lot of money. Other organizations say, well, it didn't save me any money, but I'm very flexible now. The rate of interoperability is better. So the common idea is it helps me, but the motives are very different. That's very interesting to see. Well, then, open standards, as I told you, I get paid to stimulate organizations using open source software and open standards. The two are very separate teams, if you ask me, we think open standards are even more important than open source software. One of the introductions this afternoon, there isn't really any definition of open standards, so we had to make our own definition. This definition has now been adapted by the European Commission in their European Interoperability Framework. And that was a starting point for a big of discussion about this definition. And as you can imagine, a lot of software vendors were not that fond of this kind of definition. The main attacks, as you will, are concerned with element 4, I believe. Yeah, the costs for the use of the standards are low and are not an obstacle to access it. Intellectual property possibly present of the standard is being made available on a royalty-free basis. We think this is a crucial element of any open standard, but of course not everyone agrees on that. So we're very happy to hear all the reactions and commentary on our definition. If we have good reasons to change it, we will. Open standards, it's somewhat curious subject, what I see. When I talk to governments, vendors, suppliers, anyone will say open standards is a good thing. It's the same like peace in our time or peace in our world. Everything is pro, but when you take a closer look again, it's not that obvious. There are really a lot of problems on the issue of open standards. First thing we see, there is no standard. Of course, there are a lot of technical standards, but on the semantic level, there aren't enough, as you will. We have our Ministry of Agriculture, for instance. It uses 12 several definitions of what a pig is. It's all written in XML, so you should say, well, it's an open standard, but they're communicating with 12 different semantic interpretations. So that still is a problem, even if you use open standards. Another problem, there are a lot of standards. We are We have made our own catalog of open standards, and there are in 600. And people tell me, well, Mark, you didn't really help me with that kind of catalog because there are too much in it. So we have made an abstract of it. We hope that'll help. But it's very difficult to see what are the main standards which I, as an individual organization, must use. And another problem is, well, of course, a lot of vendors say they are using open standards, but are using open standards with a certain flavor. So it's XML with a flavor. You think it's a system, for instance, a content management system which implements open standards. You put in your information, but you can't get your information out. And that's really a big problem, and also a problem which is very relevant now. Another thing which I've heard, and it's really quite tragic, all the universities, high schools, which are using software for e-learning. And they're putting all this content in it, and it's really brilliant content, but we can never get those information out of it, and it's really a big tragedy. Okay, this is my last sheet. What we are working on, we've been working on this program for 1.5 year now. It still needs a lot to be done. What we need, more well-documented best practices, or worst practices, I don't care, any practice. The problem is, of course, we have a lot of examples, and people say this, and people say that, and I have here an example. But when we try to sell open source software, we really need good documentation. What did it cost? How much training did it cost? And, that's, of course, a big problem. It's not very fair to say, because a lot of migrations now from the one proprietary system to the other proprietary system, people never ask what does this cost or what problems can we expect. But when you use open source software, well, that's the tragedy of it all, but we have to get used to it. You need more evidence, that's clear. We need facts, like I told you, but look beyond TCO. Don't have a too single-minded approach towards TCO, look further than that. Third point, I think also very relevant. I've heard a lot of talk today in the sense of we're at war, take no prisoners, it's a battle which we will win eventually. Of course, when you're dealing with free source software, you have to be convinced of yourself. You really have to have a strong, in a way, you must be aggressive. But on the other hand, I think we also need the proprietary software vendors. Again, the example of the local municipalities in the Netherlands. A lot of them are thinking of using OpenOffice instead of Microsoft Office. But the problem is the vendors of the back office applications, for instance, applications for building up a permit or looking in all kinds of administrations, they only can handle doc files. So what we are doing is going towards those proprietary vendors saying, we don't ask you to open your software, but please, can you make your software ported towards Linux or towards OpenOffice? So in a way, I think we really need those kinds of vendors, and I think there can be a world of open source software and hopefully a smaller world of closed source software. Last point, semantic standards, and that's what I've heard today a lot. That's not a technical issue, but more an issue of politics. And in a way, we are dependent of that too. But I see a lot of movement in that field too.